My announced topic this afternoon is the Antichrist. This sermon is going to be a kind of overview of this teaching. And you're going to say, well, you left out this or you left out that. Well, I do that every sermon. The book is full of things and you just can't cover it all at one time. But I do hope that you'll have an overview of this great doctrine as a result of this message this afternoon. I've chosen three passages for the text. The first is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Then 1 John 2:18, and finally Revelation 13, 1 through 9. I've chosen these three passages because they are the main biblical passages about this Antichrist. So let's read these, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, first of all. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, talking about the coming of Christ, the day of the coming of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you of these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 1 John 2:18 is our next textual portion. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And finally, Revelation 13, verses 1 through 9. Revelation 13, 1 through 9. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. The word Antichrist can mean either of two things. It can either mean against Christ, anti means against, or it can mean instead of Christ, a substitute for Christ, one who puts himself in the place of Christ. In Matthew 24:5, the Lord Jesus said concerning these last days that antichrists, those who put themselves in the place of Christ, shall arise. Turn with me to Matthew 24. And this is a key passage as well, concerning not only the Antichrist, but the tribulation. Matthew 24 and verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Those are antichrists. They put themselves in the place of Christ. Thus, the Lord Jesus speaks in Mark 13:22 of false Christ. Let's turn to that passage. Mark 13, verse 22. An antichrist is one who puts himself in the place of Christ, who substitutes himself in the place of Christ. Mark 13:22, the Lord Jesus says, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The Antichrist has always been a topic of much interest and speculation and controversy. The controversy usually centers in the identity of this man. I've known people who knew who the Antichrist was. And you can tell I'm being sarcastic. But that's the controversy centers in the identity of this man. Who is he? What is he? Is he a particular person or is he a religious system? Some in early Christian centuries thought the Emperor Nero was Antichrist. You can find writings of the so-called early fathers that identify Nero. I can understand how they thought that he was. In the Middle Ages and later, some said that Muhammad was the Antichrist. And that still applies today. All of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation identified the papacy as the Antichrist. The Westminster Confession, which is the what we would call the Reformed Confession, the main one, says in chapter 25, paragraph 6, that the Pope is the Antichrist. Seventh-day Adventism teaches that the Antichrist is the papal system and not an individual person. Our own Baptist Philadelphia Confession of Faith says in chapter 26, paragraph 4, that the Pope is the Antichrist. During World War II, now, most of you can't remember that long ago, but during World War II, it was popular to identify Adolf Hitler as the Antichrist and Mussolini as the false prophet. In this message this afternoon, we're going to look at what God's Word says about the Antichrist. And again, I would say, as we make just a cursory review of what the Scriptures say about this subject, we shall consider three things. First of all, Antichrist in this present age. And then secondly, Antichrist in the future. And finally, the doom of the final Antichrist. So, first of all, let's look at Antichrist in this present age. The Apostle John focuses on the Antichrist in his first and second letters in the New Testament. The word Antichrist is used 5 times in God's Word, and all of these are in John's first and second letters. Every time the word Antichrist is used in Scripture, it occurs in John's first 2 letters. It occurs once in the plural and four times in the singular. Let's read 1 John 2:18 here again. 1 John 2:18 says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now, John wrote this letter sometime before 90 A.D., just 60 years after the Lord Jesus ascended back into heaven. And he says here that in the age in which he wrote, which he identifies as the last days, we saw that last Sunday, many Antichrists shall arise. In these letters, John focuses on the present danger of Antichrist. He says in this 18th verse that right now there are many Antichrists in this world. And this is how we know that we're in the last days. And John also focuses on the heretical teachings of the many Antichrists in the world today. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. 1 John 4, 2 and 3. Here he speaks of the spirit of Antichrist. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." So the spirit of Antichrist, he mentions here. What is the spirit of Antichrist? I submit to you, and I will seek to prove it from God's word. The spirit of Antichrist is error concerning the person of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is error concerning the person of Christ. Turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. 1 John 2, 22. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." There was a heresy that arose in the 4th century A.D. called Arianism. And Arianism was the spirit of Antichrist because it denied the Father and the Son. Arius, the leader of this heresy, denied the eternal sonship of Christ, and he denied the deity of Christ. Of course, that involves denying both Father and Son. 1 John 4, 2 and 3, and 2 John 7 tell us that Antichrists deny that Jesus Christ has come in human flesh. Now that's really important because of what's going on in our circles today. Antichrists deny that Jesus Christ has come in human flesh. Look at 2 John 7 here. 2 John verse 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, I want to give you an example of the spirit of Antichrist right here in Kansas City. Reverend Mary Omwakey, who was the pastor of Unity Church of Overland Park, Kansas, said in an article of the Kansas City Star, and I have that article in my files, this article was on the meaning of the birth of Christ, and here's what she said. Now, these people are slick, so pay close attention to this. Quote, "The key here is that God's love is so great, it gave not an individual personality named Jesus, but the divine idea of sonship called Christ, and placed it within each of us." Unquote. Now, did you get what she said there? She said Christ is not a person. He's an idea. She denies that Christ has come in human flesh. Now, here's another example. I also have this article in my files. Patrick Rush, Vicar General of the Catholic Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, said, quote, "The incarnation of Jesus Christ is not a moment in history. Instead, it is a continuous divine activity of self-giving that stretches from before creation to the future final judgment. Christ has always and will always be coming into our world. Christ doesn't come into our world for 3 decades in a specific century," unquote. What does she say? Or what does he say? He's saying that the incarnation did not happen. God did not take human flesh and come as a man. The spirit of Antichrist teaches error concerning the person of Christ. And this is why this heresy of the eternal manhood and the celestial flesh of Christ is so very dangerous. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ is come in human flesh and who denies the full humanity and deity of Jesus Christ is of the spirit of Antichrist. Brother Justice didn't say that. That's what the scripture says. The world abounds with Antichrist today. All false religions who oppose Christ are antichrist. Whether it be Buddhism or Islam or Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or the cults. Many today are so preoccupied with the man of sin that is to come that they refuse to see the spirit of Antichrist today in Romanism and theological liberalism and Copelandism, that I made up that word myself, and the cults. Let us not put off till a future time the Antichrist as a subject that does not involve us at the present time. It is wrong to overlook the present aspect of Antichrist as if the Antichrist to come should concern us more than this. The future should not supersede the present, nor should it blind us to our present danger and duty. Look once again at 1 John 2:18 here. 1 John 2:18. "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now, in this verse, as we're going to see as the message progresses, John is contrasting the present with the future. "The Antichrist is coming," he says. "But many Antichrists are already present right now." So let's look in the second place then at the Antichrist in the future. We've looked at the Antichrist in the present, now Antichrist in the future. John's main focus in his New Testament letters is on the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist in the world today. But in 1 John 2:18 and in the book of Revelation, John also focuses on a special individual called the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Now, Antichrist is not just a spirit or an attitude, and it's not just a system such as the Roman Catholic papacy. The warnings about Antichrist have had a fulfillment in theological liberalism that denies the person of Christ and all these things about it, and in Romanism. But my friends, in the future, it will have a more obvious and a more appalling fulfillment. According to God's word, a personal Antichrist will appear at the end of this age. It is significant here that every time John uses the word Antichrist in his letters, the definite article is used in the Greek original. So that it actually reads, the Antichrist. Now that doesn't show up in our King James Version, but if you check the Greek, the definite article is there. 1 John 2:18 announces that this specific individual Antichrist shall most certainly come. Again, let me read 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now we may properly refer to this person as the final Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist in this world right now is preparing the way for the appearing of the Antichrist. The scriptures tell us that the Antichrist is a particular person. As John says in 1 John 2:18, the Antichrist is coming as opposed to the many Antichrists that are already here. Now, the fullest and clearest description of the Antichrist in God's Word is found in Revelation chapter 13. So let's turn over there, and I want us to look at several verses there. Revelation 13. First of all, here we find possessive pronouns used to describe this Antichrist. When John speaks in verse 1 of his horns, in verse 2 of his feet, in verse 2 of his mouth, and in verse 3 of his deadly wound. The pronoun him is also used often to speak of the Antichrist. Look at Revelation 13, 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Look down at verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5 says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And so in all, if my counting is correct, 14 personal pronouns are applied to the beast or the Antichrist in the first 8 verses of Revelation 13. And all are singular, by the way. All of them are singular. Now, let me say, yes, there's a lot of symbolism in Revelation. I do not presume to be able to explain it all. But it's obvious that that symbolism stands for something, and we're intended to understand it. Now, all of these things point to a particular individual. Not only that, verse 3 says that all the world will wonder after him, and verse 4 says that they will worship the beast. And then verse 18 of this chapter says that the beast is a man, and we're expected to understand this. Look at verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. This personal Antichrist is given several titles in the scriptures. And these also indicate that he is an individual. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians 2 now. 2 Thessalonians 2, where the Apostle Paul gives us 3 of Antichrist's titles. By the way, I saw a list somebody made of 27 titles. Well, I'm just going to give you 3 or 4 here, or 5. In verse 3, Paul calls this man the man of sin. In the same verse, he calls this person the son of perdition. Look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. By the way, son of perdition means son of hell. And in verse 8 of this chapter, Paul calls this man that wicked, or literally the Greek is that wicked one. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Revelation 13, 1 and 2 calls him the beast, or literally that word is the wild beast. And I believe this refers to his ferocity and cruelty and immoral character. Daniel 7, 8 calls this Antichrist the little horn. And all of these titles point to a particular person, not a spirit, not a system, but a person. The scriptures also describe the career of the Antichrist. Turn to Revelation 13 again. Look at verse 1. Revelation 13, 1 says this Antichrist, this beast, will rise up out of the sea. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, what sea was he talking about? Well, the sea there around which everything in the apostles' day revolved was the Mediterranean Sea. They called it the Great Sea. The Roman Empire centered around the Mediterranean Sea. This relates to Revelation 17, 12 and 13, if you want to turn over there to that. Revelation 17, 12 and 13, which says that this Antichrist will become the head of a 10-nation confederacy within the area of the old Roman Empire. Look at Revelation 17, 12 and 13. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So he rises up out of the area of the old Roman Empire around the Mediterranean Sea. Furthermore, we're talking about the career of the Antichrist. This coming Antichrist will be a blasphemer. According to Revelation 13, 1, and verses 5 and 6, he will blaspheme God and Christ. Look at Revelation 13, verse 1. And upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now verses 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Verses 4 and 8 of this chapter say that the world will worship Antichrist. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now look at verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. I'm sure glad this next phrase is in there. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Brother Justice, you always end up on election. There it is. Right there. Revelation 13, 2 says that the Antichrist will be energized by Satan. That is, his power will be the power of Satan. Verse 2, and the dragon, other verses tell us that's Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now look back in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 again. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 says that his power, his coming will be after the power of Satan. His coming will be after the power of Satan. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The Antichrist is going to be able to work miracles. Do these people today that claim miracles work miracles? I don't think most of them do, but some of them might, because the Antichrist is going to have power to do that. His false prophet's going to have power to do that. Just because a man claims to do a miracle doesn't mean he's from God. Now look at verse 7 in Revelation 13. Revelation 13, 7 says, the Antichrist is going to be a world dictator. Revelation 13 and verse 7. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now turn to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and this is something that I believe we can see almost coming to pass today. Daniel 9, 27 says that this Antichrist is going to make a treaty guaranteeing the security of Israel for 7 years. But 3.5 years into this treaty, he will break it and will set up an idol of himself in the temple at Jerusalem. Daniel 9, 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And we believe from other scriptures that each day talks about a year, so 1 week is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Evidently, the Jewish religious system, the temple and all, is going to be rebuilt. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The Lord Jesus quotes that. We may look at that in a moment to say that Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple and cause everyone to worship him as God. He's going to say that he's God and require people to do it. Now turn to Revelation 13 again, verses 7 and 8. Revelation 13, 7 and 8 says that this Antichrist will persecute Christians. Under the rule of this Antichrist, Christians are going to be outlaws. I feel like an outlaw already. Don't you? The way that the world is turning against us. And let me tell you a secret. We've applied for an application to visit the nation of China. They approved a 10-year visa for Lindy, but they approved a provisional 6-month or 60-day, I think it is, visa for me. Guess why? Because I wrote my occupation on the application. And that's a communist country. And they don't want Baptist preachers over there doing missionary work. Revelation 13, 7 and 8 says the Antichrist will persecute Christians. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. We don't have any weapons, material weapons. We don't have any armies, material armies. But he's going to make war with us. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This Antichrist will claim to be the spiritual savior of the world. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:4. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says that this person will seek to take the place of both God and Christ, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The religious world, having turned away from Christ, and that's already happened, will accept the Antichrist, believing that he came from God because of his power. And he's going to deceive all but the very elect. Turn to verses 16 through 18 of Revelation 13. These verses tell us that he will control the commerce of this world with a mark. In order for people to buy and sell, they must have this mark in their hands or in their foreheads. Notice, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. That's where that came from, that so many people talk about today. So this man, this Antichrist, will arise to dominate the world, to persecute the saints, to seek to destroy the Jews, and to banish the name of Christ from the earth. Who is this Antichrist? I'm not going to tell you, because I don't know. It is not revealed in the Scriptures. God has not told us. And 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says that he, that is this specific Antichrist, is yet to be revealed. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:8. He's not yet been revealed. He is yet to be revealed. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The word that's translated revealed here means to uncover, to unveil. And this is where a lot of speculation about the Antichrist comes in. Some have identified him, as I pointed out earlier, as Nero. Some as Antiochus. I've read a lot of dispensational material that identifies him as Antiochus, the old Greek ruler of Syria. L.R. Shelton of New Orleans thought that, and this is an interesting theory, but it's just that, he thought that Judas would come back from the dead and be the Antichrist. And the reason he gave for that is because John 17:12 says that the Lord Jesus called Judas the son of perdition. And Paul calls him the son of perdition. During the 1980s, some said that Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. I'll never forget, his picture was on the front of Time magazine. He was trying to make a treaty between Israel and the Arabs. And so they had his picture on there, and a lot of these fundamentalist preachers on the radio said that this proves that Henry Kissinger's the Antichrist. Well, neither the Pope, neither this Pope, nor any previous Pope is the Antichrist. It is true that the Pope is an Antichrist, but he is not the final Antichrist. There is coming a time when the Antichrist will be revealed, a time when it is made clear who he is. Now look at 2 Thessalonians 2:8 again. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Note the word then here. And then shall that wicked be revealed. And this indicates that there is a set time for his coming. This person, this Antichrist, must come before the real Christ returns. I want you to, it was many years before this verse dawned upon me, what it said. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 here. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? The day of Christ's return. That's what the context is about. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And thus, the revelation of Antichrist will be a clear sign of Christ's return. That's one way we can know that Christ returns near, when the Antichrist arises and is identified. Now, in the third place, let us look very quickly at the doom of this final Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 is a glorious verse, in my view, because it says that Christ will personally destroy this Antichrist. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The Antichrist will be overthrown and defeated by the Lord Jesus himself at his personal return to the earth. The Lord will destroy him with the breath of his mouth. Revelation, turn to Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. Revelation 19, 19 and 20 says that the Antichrist will not die. He will instead be cast alive into the lake of fire. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So in conclusion, what should be our response to the teachings of God's word concerning the Antichrist? Let me just give you three or four here very quickly. First of all, we should strive to understand these things about the Antichrist. I confess, I don't understand it all. I don't know if we ever will until the Lord comes back. But we should strive to understand these things. The passage on the Antichrist in Revelation 13 ends with the exhortation to Christians to understand. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding. You have understanding. If you're regenerate, you have understanding. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Number two, how should we respond to all this? We must look for and expect these things to come to pass because God's word says they will. Right now, this world is being prepared religiously, politically, and economically to accept the Antichrist. Slowly but surely, this world is being prepared for the coming and acceptance of Antichrist. Thirdly, we should get to know our Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that we would be able to answer the Antichrist heresies concerning his person that are rife in this world today. What a shame that so many people who can speak freely about the possible identity of the coming Antichrist are utterly unable to defend the deity and real humanity of Christ from the pages of God's holy word. Finally, we should be making sure that we are safeguarded against this Antichrist who may very well arise soon. My friend here today, do you know the real Christ, the Christ of the Bible, as your Redeemer and Savior? Are you covered by the blood and righteousness of the real and only Christ? May God grant that it be so. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the warnings of your word about not only what's coming in the future, but what's happening right now in this world. We pray that you would increase our understanding. Give us the desire to study the word and not study Dr. So-and-so, but study the word and find what it has to say about these things. We pray that Christ, our Savior, the real Christ, would be glorified through our study and our awareness of these things that we've talked about today. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.